Hi, I'm KALW News Director Ben Trefney, and I want to let you know that we are in our spring membership drive. So I want to invite you to support KALW. We are listener-supported radio, and so we're asking for your help right now. Please go to the website and click Donate Now. It's at kalw.org. You'll feel good about it, and we will too. Thanks.
KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Nopa.
I'm from Pittsburgh.
I live in Ingleside.
I live in Sausalito.
I live in the East Bay, Hercules, California, USA, planet Earth.
Coming up, the latest from our podcast, Bounce. We'll visit the businesses around Oracle Arena to see how the Warriors' move will affect them.
Well, it will definitely hurt us.
How much business do you get on a game night?
I would say 20% extra.
Then we meet another local basketball team that competes in a different kind of arena.
In the very beginning, my vision was like to be this dominant force that won every game by 20 points, you know, and everything was just going to fall in our hands. But it's not as easy as I thought it was going to be. Not at all.
The San Quentin and Golden State Warriors today on Cross Currents. Stick around. Let's talk sports. Fans up and down the Bay are getting ready for some playoff action. Down in San Jose, we've got hockey. The Sharks are hosting the Colorado Avalanche in a deciding Game 7 to see who moves on to the Western Conference Finals. Meanwhile, the Houston Rockets are in Oakland to play basketball against the Golden State Warriors in a pivotal Game 5. We've been following the Dubs throughout the playoffs with our podcast, Bounce, the Warriors' last days in Oakland. And today is Warriors Wednesday, so I'll hand it over to the host, Ben Trefney.
Even if you're number one in the fans' hearts, even if you're a two-time MVP and a three-time champ, even if you're blessed, like it says on some of his hats, this can happen.
Steph Curry behind the back, drives down a lane and misses the jam! Oh, he missed it!
The Golden State Warriors' road to a third straight championship was paved with bricks in Houston. So many missed layups. But still, these games with the Rockets are close.
Iguodala will inbound. Here comes. This is for a tie from Durant. No! It's back to Durant. Curry for the tie! No!
The Dubs couldn't convert when they needed to. And so...
That's it! This series has just gotten incredibly tight in a hurry.
To move on to the next round, Golden State's going to have to win two out of their next three games. But they are coming home. This is Bounce, the Warriors' last season in Oakland. Today, we're headed for Hegenberger Road to hear what will happen after this year when the team leaves town.
Well, it will definitely hurt us, yes. All the businesses in this area, you know, all the hotels, all the stores and restaurants and gas stations.
East Oakland won't be the same. But before we hear about the businesses, let's get to know this area by hearing from the people who live here.
I define the culture of East Oakland as a culture of resilience.
Artist and activist Fabiana Rodriguez lives in Fruitvale.
I grew up at a time when Oakland was violent and harsh and poor because of inequality. The crack cocaine epidemic was alive here. We had a huge gang problem. I mean, literally people would be getting jumped across the street from my house. And we had a police problem. I mean, we had police brutality that has always been a problem with the town. But we also had, you know, MC Hammer. We had graffiti. You know, we had businesses that were thriving.
The culture of East Oakland is vibrant, it's beautiful, it's glorious. There's a lot of joy.
Reverend Harry Williams leads the congregation at Victory Outreach Church in the Melrose.
There's so much diversity here in East Oakland. It's a place where there's so much swag, incredible music, and just an incredible vibe of brotherhood and sisterhood on the one hand. On the other hand, it can be an incredibly violent place, a place where there's tremendous apathy, especially among the people who really should care about the poor people that live here.
Oracle Arena itself is around 72nd Avenue. That's in the Deep East, the place where Candace Elder runs the East Oakland Collective.
Drive down International all the way to the San Leandro border, which is about like 108th, 109th Avenue. You see the businesses start changing. You see more vacant lots. You'll see more vacant businesses. You'll see the street infrastructure is not kept up.
That's the neighborhood where the Warriors currently play. So it's pretty easy to see the team relocating to San Francisco as a business move. The new Chase Center is more than a basketball arena. It's that for sure, but it's also filled with pricey suites and box seats. Annual revenue for those choice spots, about $100 million per year. And yes, people in that part of town can afford to pay for that. A high-end community is already rising in Mission Bay, where the team is building its jewel box. So what about the neighborhood the Warriors are vacating? What about the Oakland businesses near Oracle? What are their prospects after the team leaves? Janae Darden took a drive down Hegenberger Road to find out.
Brings it across. Pops it. Yes!
Oracle Arena, the home base of Dub Nation, sits between two busy streets in East Oakland, 66th Ave and, where I am, Hegenberger Road. Hegenberger's 2.5-mile stretch starts at San Leandro Street and is a straight shot to the Oakland Airport. The surrounding neighborhood is working class. The vacant Walmart and grocery store buildings are examples of how some businesses have struggled in this area. But along the road, there are a slew of fast food restaurants, hotels, diners, office buildings, and a few gas stations. Warriors fans patronize many of these businesses, like the Diamond Sports Bar and Grill and the Holiday Inn. It's packed tonight. People are waiting in line for tables. The customers here like to fill up on happy hour deals before filling up the seats at Oracle.
The crispy wings, barbecue and buffalo, and we also got the chicken nachos.
Luisa Barreto lives in Oakland. She came here with friends to eat. They didn't know they could get free parking if they spent $40 on food and drinks. So they're taking a short lift ride to the arena.
And I had a shot of Patron.
I asked her and her friend Richard Rodriguez, will they come back here after the Warriors' last season?
I don't think it would be a place I would just come to. We really just come here because of the convenience, the location.
You never know, if I come to a Raiders game, you know, I'd definitely come by here.
Thank you.
Sally Hayes watches the bartender top her Irish coffee with whipped cream. She likes watching the Warriors play for their athleticism and...
There's nothing wrong with looking at a bunch of hot guys running around.
Remember the show Cheers? Sally is the Diamond Sports Bar version of Norm. That's because she's been coming here for 10 years. Sally is a flight attendant and stays in the bar's hotel 3 times a month. She loves the bar so much, she pays out of pocket to stay here at the hotel when traveling for work sometimes. She says she'll keep coming here after the Warriors leave.
I stay here because the people that work here treat me so well and so professional, and they're so good to everyone.
And she hopes they stay employed after the Warriors move.
Are you concerned for them once the teams leave?
I am concerned when all the teams are leaving eventually.
This bar makes more money when the Warriors are in town, mostly from local fans. The bar's manager, Jose Padilla, tells me business goes up 100 to 200% during a home game. Think about it. The Warriors play about 50 games in Oakland. That's some ching ching. I ask how big of a hit will they take when the Warriors leave.
I will definitely feel a bit of a pinch, but for the most part, we are a sports bar. Yesterday, we did get a big draw for the Sharks game and for the other NBA games. We were typically busy, but not as today because, you see, we have a home game, and that brings a little bit extra crowd.
Are you concerned as an employee about when the team's leaving and how things will fare, or are people concerned here that work here?
We are concerned because Oakland is... You know, for the most part, losing 2 teams already. As far as, you know, losing teams in Oakland, we are worried. But for the business here, because we're running a, you know, a successful sports bar, I think we're pretty well off.
I look across the road and see a sign for the Oakland Airport Executive Hotel. There are a lot of hotels on Hegenberger, including big national chains like the Hilton and Marriott. I wonder how the Warriors' move will impact them. I leave the sports bar and cross the busy wide road to find out. It's much quieter here. I meet Mike Faruqi. He's been the general manager here for 5 years. That's around the time the Warriors started winning more games.
Whenever there's game, we do get some business and we do get busy. I would say about 10 to 15%.
And once they leave?
It's not going to affect drastically. But it will make a difference, yes. We'll still survive. You know, Oakland is a vibrant city, and I'm sure that it'll be replaced by either some other event because we have Oracle so close here. We have plenty of business because of the airport, so we'll be fine.
Employees at other hotels tell me when it comes to sports, many of their guests are Raider fans. They'll see a decline there because Raider fans travel from around the country for games. Days after the playoffs started, I visited the Hegenberger restaurant. Yes, the pun is very much intended.
Three number ones coming up.
This burger joint has been around for over 40 years. Ernie Octavin is the current owner. He's taking orders from the weekday lunch crowd. There's a mix of people from office administrators to police officers. But on game day, this place is extra packed. Maybe that's because a bottle of water at Oracle costs more than some of Ernie's sandwiches. We sit by the Warriors championship pennant flags on the wall. Ernie is excited about the Dubs being in the playoffs, but not about them taking off to San Francisco.
Yeah, it will definitely hurt our business, all the businesses in this area. You know, all the hotels, all the, you know, stores and restaurants and gas stations, they all make, you know, I'm sure it affects everybody, yeah.
How much business do you get on a game night, a home game night, like percentage-wise?
I would say 20% on the game nights, 20% extra or more, yeah, something like that.
But tourism might save these businesses once all of the teams leave the area. First off, it helps to be close to the increasingly busy Oakland Airport, which serves more than 1 million passengers a month. And Oakland, known for making the most dangerous city list, is now one of National Geographic's top must-see cities in the world. Between 2016 and 2017, tourism here increased by 10%. But perhaps the most promising development for the area's businesses involves another local team.
Mabry on one pitch has shot the A's in front in the eighth inning by a score of 8-7. Holy Toledo.
You see, the city of Oakland and Alameda County co-own the 155-acre spot where Oracle Arena and the Coliseum sit. The county recently approved the A's bid to buy them out for $85 million. The A's want to keep Oracle Arena for concerts and events, but tear down the Coliseum and build 3,000 units of housing on the site, as well as a massive park and a tech campus. But they're still looking to have a new stadium near Jack London Square. This plan has Ernie at Hegenberger feeling a little more hopeful.
Oh, that's a great news. Yeah, love it. hopefully that plan's, hopefully it happens, yeah.
Now, will it cause your rent to increase, or?
That I'm not sure.
Things may look shiny and new over here near Oracle in years to come. But with the Warriors leaving, it definitely won't feel the same on Hegenberger Road.
That's Janae Darden in East Oakland. Coming up on Bounce, we'll hear how the Warriors are giving a strong nod to Oakland when they move to San Francisco next year.
Are they going to want to use different ingredients that are cheaper? Because if that's the case, I don't want to be involved. But it wasn't the case.
The story of Bake Sale Betty's and how the Chase Center will bring some Oakland flavor to the fans. That's next time on Bounce.
That's Ben Trefney with KLW's podcast, Bounce, the Warriors' last season in Oakland. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. The Golden State Warriors are on a playoff run, and it's become a tradition. The team has another tradition that takes place in the offseason. They pay a visit to San Quentin State Prison to meet inmates and play a game of basketball. And they usually win. Now, this isn't Steph Curry or Kevin Durant on the court. It's general manager Bob Myers and other staffers, including some Division I ballers. It means a lot to the Golden State Warriors, and you can imagine what it means to the men inside the prison. Here's what it's like to be part of the team from our partners at San Quentin Radio.
San Quentin Radio, bringing you informative educational stories from the inside out.
In order to make something grow, you gotta own a little dirt.
You don't tell, you see what goes on.
Because I like to be free, I like to move about the land.
You could hear a pin drop, and all of a sudden you heard this.
My name is Rafael Cuevas. I'm 35 years old. I'm the head coach of the San Quentin Warriors. I arrived here in 2012, and I played 5 seasons as a point guard on the team, and this is my first year coaching.
My name is Anthony Ammons, 32 years old, and I play for the San Quentin Warriors here at San Quentin.
Jason Boo Robinson, 39, and I'm a rookie, first season, San Quentin Warriors.
So in the very beginning, I think I took it for granted that it was going to be easy to coach this team with this much talent. And my vision was like to be this dominant force that won every game by 20 points, you know, and everything was just going to fall in our hands. But it's not as easy as I thought it was going to be. Not at all.
Ball's going the other direction. That's what happens when they miss it. Bob Myers not going to say nothing.
We did a thing the other night that I thought was stupid, going around a track, getting to know your teammates. My personal opinion is I had 102 years to life. Why would I want to get to know my teammates? I'm playing basketball to get away from my problems.
I think the biggest part of the program is working together, putting in all the work consistently as a team, and trying to work towards a positive goal.
But it actually worked. It actually made sense after I went back and reflected on it. I understand it now.
I respected the system when I first seen Rafael at the very first tryout where guys showed up late. And when I seen him say, give me 4 miles or give me 8 miles, I knew that he was really serious about not showing any favoritism. So that's when he gained my full support.
We didn't cut anybody. That was something we wanted to do from the beginning, was make the program welcome to everybody who wanted to participate and give them an opportunity to be the best teammate that they could be. So we ended up with a lot of different guys from different races, different social groups. Some guys are friendly, some guys are not friendly.
At first I was like, where are we going? What I did not understand is how hard it must have been for him to coach his former players.
Guys will figure out that their minutes are going down, and then I'll explain to them, well, I asked you to do this or that, and you didn't do it, and I have a problem with that. And it has caused friction with guys that I'm really close to, that I really like. And I had to address them privately and say, you know, this is not about mine and your relationship as much as it is about me trying to bring this team together.
To tell you the truth, it's been real therapeutic having him as my coach, because he don't see my faults. He see what I can do better, and he actually encourages me to strive hard and let me know that I'm not bigger than the team and that I have to do my part.
I noticed that I felt like I lost my identity, because nobody calls me by my name anymore. And everywhere I go, people are like, hey, coach, how you doing, coach? I'll be playing pickup with the guys, and they'll say, hey, nice pass, coach. And I'm like, what happened to Rafael? Like, where did that guy go? Which I guess I have to take it as an honor for guys to recognize me as a coach. I'm a local guy raised in San Francisco, and I had to cancel all my Saturday visits because I was going to be busy coaching this basketball team. But I really value this program in my life, so it was something that I felt that I needed to do.
I consider team family. Coming from my background, being involved in gangs and things of that nature, but this is my first time actually ever being able to do something positive where I have a supporting cast that believe in me and that push me and encourage me when I'm doing something positive.
I know that it gives me a focus and it gives my players a focus.
And although I go to self-help groups, being on this team for the first time is like therapy to me.
At halftime, we meet in the circle and we pray. Or there's guys that quote, you know, their spiritual beliefs, as to this is how my light comes into the life. And there's usually an inspirational story from players from the outside, from players from the inside, from guys that are part of the program that don't play, and from guests.
Everybody has a bad habit of this. Would y'all take a shot? I think you should make it and try to get the steal. Sprint back on D to your area.
In prison, we had this thing called overfamiliarity. We're not allowed to hug people. But when the guys come here from society, I find myself battling to break them laws because they're like family to me. So when I see them come in, I look forward to it. And when it's time for them to leave, I hate it because I don't want to see them go because that's like a part of me leaving.
Over my course of being on the team, I've learned that you have to put yourself in other people's shoes to see where they're coming from.
Now I understand a lot more because I've had to take apart the layers of it and deal with guys on the side and talk to them. Why are you being so resistant? Why is it such a problem that when I ask you to do this, you don't want to do it? And I can't convince you to do what everybody else is doing. And that came up so much that I realized there's a lot of personal work in coaching. It's very relational.
We all support each other, we all love each other, and it's about each one teaching one.
And that's the difference. Now I want to play for my teammates.
For me, the program was life-changing, but I think anybody playing on this team, it's a memory that they'll have forever. This is a very unique opportunity. As hard as it is, as much energy and effort that I had to put in, and with the results that I'm slowly getting, it just means so much. I'm truly honored to be the coach of the San Quentin Warriors.
We got it, we got it. Just anxious right now. We're going to get it together.
That piece was produced by Luke Colondres. That story won an award last fall from the Society of Professional Journalists of Northern California. Our radio training program at San Quentin State Prison is supported by the California Arts Council with funding from the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. All content is approved by an information officer. We're listening to Vegan Butcher from Oakland. They're performing at the Golden Bull Bar in their hometown tonight. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.